Hey, good morning, Rev City. How you doing this morning? Come on, good to be in the house of the Lord with you. So grateful and just privileged to spend some time with you this morning in God's presence. And if you have your Bible this morning, would you turn it to Proverbs chapter 5, and then just be patient. We'll get there here in a moment. And just first of all, as you're turning there, I just want to just acknowledge the Legacy Vision booklet that was in your bulletin again this Sunday. I think this is probably the last Sunday we'll actually put it in the bulletins. We'll have extra copies available out at the Welcome Center in the lobby. Just wanted to just draw your attention to this. This is the this is just the compilation of a lot of the work and planning and details that have been sought out by the staff and the elders to gather together all the bids and the budget for the legacy renovation project. And so I spent a little bit of time on it last Sunday. I would encourage you to go back and listen to that message if you'd like to hear more about it. But today, all I want to do is just say, what we're asking you as a member of this church family to do is just pray and obey. On Sunday, May 6th, we'll bring the first celebration offering to support this project. And in the meantime, again, all we want to ask you to do is just pray and obey. Just seek the Lord for what he would have you to do to participate in this. I believe it's an exciting vision. I believe it's from the heart of God. I believe stewarding the building that we're blessed to own outright and to call our home is important. It's near and dear to the heart of God. I believe it will be God-honoring. How many of you know that to step into a season like this, it's similar to the season that the church stepped out into in previous times, to step out in faith, to come together in unity, to rally in faith and generosity to accomplish something that God's leading and calling us to do as a church family. And in previous seasons, the call of God was to purchase land. This land that this building is built upon didn't happen by accident. It happened because God spoke and the people of God gathered together in faith and obedience. And this building that we could sometimes just take for granted, that we show up and are able to freely worship in and gather in and be trained up and discipled and equipped and experience godly fellowship in, we should not take it for granted. It's a blessing from God. But it required faith, faithfulness to hear God, and faith and obedience of the previous generation of this church family to step out in faith and generosity. And I believe with all my heart that that's the season that God has us in this season, where previously it was to buy land or build a building. In this season, it's to bring some updates, to bring renewed excellence. You'll see in the inside cover of this book that there's a statement I believe strongly in, that the goal of this is not opulence, it's renewed excellence. And I believe that the campaign is rightfully named Legacy because I believe it's part of the legacy we leave to take what God's entrusted us with, which, by the way, there's all kinds of things that God's entrusted you to steward. But as a church family, this property, this building is something that God's called us to steward. It's the church is not a building, it's people. The church is comprised of living stones, but this place where we gather that's dedicated and consecrated to the purposes of God, the glory of God, and the gathering of the people of God, and the invitation of this city to come and taste and see that the Lord is good, this place is important to God. So the heart of this is to steward it well. Thank you for walking in faith and obedience. Thank you for, again, just the part that we would ask of you is just pray and obey, hear and trust God, and we're trusting him for his faithful provision for the vision of this project. Amen? Are you there in Proverbs chapter 5? We'll get there in a moment. First, I just want to remind you that this season that we're in is called Live to Lead. And the life group season that we've been in, it has been entitled that, Live to Lead. And here's the big idea, is that leadership in God's kingdom is not reserved for a select few. Leadership in God's kingdom is not associated or tied to or dependent upon a title. Leadership is the life that God's called every one of you, every one of us, to live for Jesus Christ, to shine the light of God, to make a difference. God has called you. If you're a believer, if you're called by the name of Jesus, God has called you to be a leader in this community. And I just want to encourage you, God, you're leading someone somewhere, whether you like it or not. And the question is, who are you leading and where are you leading them to? And we all have leadership roles that sometimes we take for granted and we're unaware of in our marriages, in our families, in our workplaces. And so the idea of this series is to help you understand and discover and embrace the reality that God has created and called you to be a leader in this community and in this church. And so the theme is live to lead. And the main scripture is Romans 12, verse 1 through 2. And I'll read it. They'll put it up behind me. Hang on there if you're already in Proverbs chapter 5. Just stay there. But it says, in the NIV, it says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God.
This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform, it says, to the pattern of this world. And I love the way the New Living Translation says it. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test what and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I love every now and then just jumping over and reading something from the message. It expands upon it. It elaborates on it. It says it in modern language that sometimes helps me to just kind of unpack the heart of what God's trying to say. And in the message version, this Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2 says this. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best out of you, and he develops well-formed maturity in you. Come on, you are called to live a life that brings glory to God and makes a difference in the lives of others. Amen? And so as part of Live to Lead, we've been bringing messages into the life groups. Here's the model, and here's the thing, is it's not, I'm touching on it because it's not too late for you to get connected to life groups. All throughout the week, there's over 25 groups that are meeting, and we're bringing messages from guest speakers into those groups, and then I'm on the Sunday following touching on that message and just kind of putting the capstone on what the Lord's been speaking into our church and into our lives through that week's message. And these are important messages, messages that are designed and intended to help you really develop as a believer. How many of you know that that Jesus said, go and make not converts, but disciples? And we're the people of God. And once we believe, we don't stop there. God desires to build us up and train us up. And that part of the vision of Rev City Church for every person is that people would be led to an encounter with Jesus Christ in the presence of God, where we can be saved, where we can be healed, where we can be set free, and where we can be strengthened to not just stand, but begin to move forward in God's purposes for your life. And so we're bringing these types of messages, important foundational messages. And if you've been part of it, or you are looking back these messages, we've already touched on the importance of understanding your identity in Christ. You're a son or a daughter. You once were a sinner, but now you've been saved by grace and adopted into the family of God. And when you can begin to embrace that position, that right standing with God, that fact that he no longer calls you a slave but a friend, you're a son, you're a daughter. Many of the issues of life, we begin to discover freedom when we begin to just live from a deeper understanding of who we are in Christ. Important messages like living connected to the Word of God and fully day by day, moment by moment, dependent upon and leaning into the Holy Spirit. For his wisdom, for his plans, for his words, for his response to every situation in life. Messages like having the courage to be set free from your past so that you can be break free from the weights and the hindrances that typically hold us back and begin to run courageously into the calling and the purpose and the future that every one of you has in Jesus Christ. And a couple weeks ago, we were out as we were welcoming little Evan Thomas into the world. And didn't Pastor Eli do a great job of bringing that message about being set free from your past? And so this morning, I want to touch on an important foundational message. This message, I believe, is one of the most significant messages that needs to be revisited, that the church needs to rediscover its voice to begin to speak into this in the life of the church, and especially in the lives of Christian leaders. And we're going to talk this morning about the battle that exists over your sexual purity. And you're building up your character in Christ is one of the most significant steps that you can take to walk towards the calling of Christ in your life. And the degree that you're willing, listen, your character is the foundation for your calling. And the depth that you are willing to allow God, and not just allow, but begin to pursue God, to begin to say, God, search me and know me. To begin to present your life before God and say, God, strengthen me in my character. That's the degree that God can get behind your calling. And listen, the character of God is the foundation of your life. And you cannot afford, when you're building something, you cannot afford to skimp on the foundation. There's other places you might can get by with thinking a little bit differently about something, but you cannot afford to skimp on the foundation. Everything that God builds in your life is built on the foundation of your character. And you, if you pass through certain things too quickly, or you ignore, or you turn a blind eye to some things, you are at risk of God building something in your life and the enemy coming and finding the fault in the foundation of your character, and everything that God's built come tumbling down. And so this morning I want to talk with you about this important area. It's a sensitive area. I promise to be sensitive. I'm not going to say anything just for the sake of getting a reaction out of you, but I'm going to use the S word a few times, the sex word. We're going to talk about that this morning. Not the other S word. Shame on you. Listen, this is a critical area. I've seen, as a person and as a pastor, I've seen people, I'm talking about Christian people, gifted people, anointed people, talented people, people with influence who either skipped through this important area, or they became complacent, or they began to lose their focus to protect the freedom of God in the area of their sexual purity. And I've seen people go through painful and difficult seasons and situations because they did not shore this area up. And I believe that this morning that's exactly what God wants to do, is in the places where maybe we've had some sin, in the places where we've blown it, in the places where we've had some weakness in this area of a foundation of our life, God wants to come this morning, and in the atmosphere of grace and love and compassion and mercy, and because he knows the future that he has for you, and it's a good future, he wants to come in an atmosphere of grace, and he wants to heal, he wants to save, he wants to set free, he wants to strengthen, he wants to restore us in this area of our lives. Amen. How many know that's the heart of God? That's the message of the gospel. And listen, I not only have I seen people go through painful, difficult situations, but I've seen people, good Christian people, people serving and knowing God, who have just been, because the enemy has entered in with a lie or a deception, because they've opened the door to the enemy, they've just been weighed down with the burden of sexual sin, this bondage. And we're called Rev City because we are called to revive people to life in Christ and revive a city to life in Christ. And from my experience, as a person, as a believer, and as a pastor, there are few things that will suck the life right out of you like bondage to sexual sin. And I just encourage you, this is not just a men's ministry issue. This is not just a youth ministry issue. This is a church issue. And on average, study shows, depending on what study you look at, but on average, studies show that one out of six women, including Christian women, are addicted to pornography. On average, studies show that 50% of men, including Christian men, are addicted to pornography. The largest group of consumers of pornography are 12 to 17-year-olds. Listen, this is an important issue that we need to discover and find the heart of God, what the word of God, what the will of God is in this area. This is a church issue. Listen, something's got to change. Something's got to change. Those statistics that I just shared with you, that's for me as a pastor and as a Christian leader and as a husband and as a father, something's got to change. That's unacceptable to me. And I believe that this is an issue that the church needs to begin to rediscover its voice and begin to speak in a godly, grace-filled way, to begin to equip and empower people, to begin to say, there's hope. There's hope that you can be healed. There's hope that you can be set free. Maybe you've been in bondage for many years or even decades to this lie of the enemy. There's hope. There's freedom. The blood of Jesus is bigger and greater and stronger than any area of sin, including sexual sin. But listen, something's got to change. And if sexual experimentation and exploits were the key to happiness, we would be the most fulfilled people in the world today. But that, sadly, you know it to be true. I don't even have to say it. We're the most over-sexualized culture in the history of mankind, and the divorce rate is higher than ever. There's a sexual and gender identity crisis. Half of all teenagers are sexually active, and get this, over 110 million Americans are living with a sexually transmitted disease. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. And the good news is God's word works. And if we'll turn from our ways in this area and other areas, and we'll begin to return to God, and we'll begin to seek out his word, and we'll begin to put it in its rightful place in our hearts and our minds and over our marriages and our homes, God will return. He will heal us. He will restore us. He will strengthen us. How many of you know the arm of the Lord is not so short that he cannot save? Every man, every woman, every young person, God can say, if we'll turn from our wicked ways, if we'll repent, if we'll begin to seek God, if we'll begin to put his word first in our lives, God's word works. So would you allow me to pray over our message this morning? Would you join me right where you are this morning? Just open your heart to the Lord. Open your heart. Come on, wherever you are in this area, whether you've fought many battles before and you're walking in freedom, or maybe today you're right in the thick of a battle over this area, over your heart and your mind and over your marriage. I just want to encourage you, God's a good God. He's a gracious God. And Lord, we thank you. We open our hearts. We open our minds. We say our minds are alert. Our hearts and our spirits are open and soft to hear and receive from you. We know you're a good Father. And we know, Lord, that you are a loving Savior. And we know that you reach out to us. Your kindness is what leads us to change, to repentance. And so we welcome you this morning to come and to just shine your loving, gracious light into our lives and help us, God, to grow in this important area. Help us, Lord, those of us who are struggling in this area, Lord, we thank you that you would come today and you would begin to heal, that you would begin to set free, God, and that you would heal and set free, that you would begin to strengthen them to walk forward in this area, Lord, to reclaim and be restored in this important area, God. We thank you this morning, Lord, for the lies of the enemy uncovered and overwhelmed by the reality of your grace and your love for your people. We pray, God, that this area in our life, Lord, that it would be redeemed in your presence, Lord, that it would be restored to us, Lord, and that we would begin, Lord, to walk in a way that's pleasing to you and that brings about the blessing and joy that you've intended for us as your people to walk in. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's precious people said, amen. If you're there at Proverbs chapter 5, we'll get there here in just 1 second. Number one, I want to remind you that God created this. God created sex. It belongs to him. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it said, God said, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it or subdue it. So this was the command of God. God created sex. He created it for a purpose. He created it to be powerful. He created it to be pleasurable. God created it, and God owns it. And the enemy didn't create it. The enemy just perverts it. And I believe it's time for the people of God and the church of God to begin to restore and recapture the conversation and the dialogue about this important area. God created it, and God owns it. And again, God created it to be special. He created it to be powerful. He created it to be purposeful, and he created it to be pleasurable. But when God creates something that has so much power and so much purpose behind it, he always provides healthy boundaries for us to walk in it. In Proverbs chapter 5, and just stay with me, we're going to read the whole chapter. But what God's word has to say about this matter is important. So read with me, or watch over the screen and just follow along and just see what some of God's word has to say about this area. And in verse 1, it says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment, and your lips will express what you've learned. For the lips of an immoral woman, and by the way, anytime in this passage where it's talking about a woman or it uses the pronoun she, that, you know, the psalmist is maybe writing to his sons, but this is applicable to men and women. And I believe that it's also talking not just about a person, but about a spirit. So anytime that you can just, whatever, if you're a man or a woman, just exchange the pronouns there. This is speaking to you about this area. For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lead straight to the grave. For she cares nothing about the path to life. She staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't realize it. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm about to say. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor and will lose to merciless people all that you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. You will say, how I hated discipline, if only I had not ignored all the warnings. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. Drink water from your, here he begins to give instructions. Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets, having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves and never share it with strangers. Let the wife be a fountain of let your wife rather be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you always, and may you always be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an immoral woman or fondle the breast of a promiscuous woman? For the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path that he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He He will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. Listen, if you think this language is strong, go read the Song of Solomon. Listen, God has a lot to say about sex because he created it. He created it to be purposeful, to be powerful, and to be pleasurable. And listen, like any area in God's kingdom, like any area in your life where there's the potential of power and promise and pleasure, or insert the word joy, you better expect that the enemy's going to oppose it and stand against it. You better believe that the enemy's going to show up on the scene, and he's going to try to flip the script. He's going to try to take over the dialogue. He's going to try to do something and introduce a lie or a deception that causes the people of God to hold back, shrink back, or be hindered from enjoying and walking in the fullness of God's power and promises and purposes for any area of your life. And the same is true over this area of sex. The enemy has come, and he's hijacked the conversation. The enemy has come, and he's introduced counterfeits. The enemy has come, and he's perverted what God created to be a blessing to you and to me in the boundaries that God created. Listen, that's my number two point is, as the people of God, we need to embrace the boundaries. Number one was God created it for power, for purpose, and for pleasure. Number two is God created boundaries that we must embrace. And listen, I'm a father of four now. That sounds crazy to say. But I love to see my kids playing in the yard. I love to see them outside playing with their friends. I love to see my son Aaron out playing basketball in our driveway. But I'm just telling you, they've heard me say it once, they've heard me say it 1,000 times, don't play in the street. I love to see them playing. I love to see them active. I love to see them laughing. But I'm telling you, I've said it every time they're out in the front yard. I'll remind them. I'll say, kids, be careful. Don't go in the street. And I'm a loving dad. They might look at me and say, well, quit trying to spoil the fun. But what they don't know is that I know something that they might not know. And I want them to enjoy the fullness of everything that they can as it regards just having fun and enjoying life. But I know that there's a boundary to where they need to go that they should not go beyond, or they're at risk of a dangerous situation. Amen? And we need to embrace the fact that when God creates something, he puts godly boundaries over it. And all throughout Proverbs chapter 5, you see godly boundaries that God's putting around this powerful, purposeful, and pleasurable thing that's called sex. Listen, when you buy a new vehicle, there's an owner's manual that comes with it, right? And you read through it, and it's just telling you things about the maintenance for your vehicle. It's telling you things about how to operate your vehicle. And you know, if you're a good car owner, you read those things and you take them to heart. You know, you change your oil every 3 to 7,000 miles. You know, if you're a good car owner, you don't go full steam ahead down I-70 and pull the emergency brake. You learn some things about the car from the people who created it. And the Word of God, I'm telling you, is the owner's manual for life. God created you. And everything in God's word, everything in God's instruction manual, and you know, we get it with our vehicle. We don't read the instruction manual and say, well, they're just trying to spoil my fun with this new car. We read it, we take it to heart, and we understand that if we follow the instructions that were given by the one who created it, that it will extend the life of it, and it will allow us to enjoy the fullness of what the car was created to perform for us. And the Word of God is no different. It's time as a people of God that we see it differently. Everything in God's Word, every warning, every instruction, every direction is all part of God's heart to bring you and connect you to the fullness of blessing. He's not trying to ruin your fun. He's not trying to keep you from things. Everything that he says for you to do, everything that he warns you not to do, it's because he's a good dad that knows. He wants to see you playing and enjoying your life, but there's some places in God's Word where he says, don't go in the street. And it's because he cares for you and he loves you. So listen, God created it for his purposes. And as your pastor, I'm just saying, come on, it's time for the people of God to take back this conversation. And it's time for the church of God to begin to live out and hold up the standard of God's word for this area. Covered with the heart of God, which, listen, again, is for the people of God to live in freedom, joy, and victory, even in the midst of a fallen world. And this standard of God's word is to be read and applied through an atmosphere of grace. Listen, it's the atmosphere, it's the kind of grace that only Jesus can give. And the blood of Jesus that purchased the grace for you and for me to experience a new life in him and a fresh start in him, it's bigger, it's badder, it's bolder, it's stronger than any area of sin, including sexual sin. And so number three is, if you're going to walk in freedom in this area, you're going to have to be willing to embrace the grace of God. The kind of grace that sets a woman who was caught in the act of adultery free, but not just sets her free. In John 8, we find this account. And in verse 4, it says this, and they came to Jesus, and they said, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery." Listen, I don't read anywhere through this passage that there was any argument or any dispute that she had done what they said that she did. And they go on and they say, "The law of Moses says to stone her, and what do you say?" And it says they were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down. Jesus stooped down. Jesus stooped down. Come on, aren't you glad that we serve a God who loved you so much that he stooped down and he sent Jesus into the dirt of the fallen world to save you and me? And Jesus stooped down and he wrote in the dust with his finger, and they kept demanding an answer, it says. So he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again. I think he tried to write something kind of gracious up front that might try to kind of redirect the script here. And they insisted, you know, "Come on, Jesus, what are we going to do about this?" And so he stooped down again and he began writing. I don't know what he wrote. Some theologians say that he began writing the names of women that these religious Pharisees had been with. Some people propose that he was writing out their own sins. But whatever it wrote, whatever he did write, it got their attention. And he said, "All right, let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and he wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest and the wisest, probably, by the way. Until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" And she said, "No, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I." But here's the catch. He set her free with his grace, but he said, "Go and sin no more." Listen, the grace of Jesus is radical, but it's never compelled to just get us out of sin. It's always intended to compel us to grow in him. And so, but the atmosphere of this conversation, of talking about God's heart for you to win the battle over your sexual purity, is covered by an atmosphere of grace. And we've got to embrace that grace, but the kind of grace that compels us to grow in God. The kind of grace that invites us and begins to cause us to be fascinated with learning more and knowing more and walking more intimately and closely with a God who loves you so much that he gives a free gift of grace to cover your past, to cover your sin, and connect you to a new life in Christ. Number 4, we've got to begin to run from sin and run to God. Matthew 4, verse 17, Jesus said, or actually it says, "From then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" Listen, we've got to see a restoration of the word repentance in the church of God. And for far too long, it's had a negative connotation, and we've held back and we've shrank back from even using that word. But the reality of it is, it just means to change your way of thinking and living. It means to turn. It literally means to turn. And how many know if you're running towards something or you're facing something and you turn, you're turning from something, but you're turning to something. And the invitation of Jesus here was to repent, to turn, to change your mind, to change your way of living, and turn away from some things that have been holding you back and keeping you from living in the fullness of the life that God has for you. And not just to turn from those things, but to turn to God. I turn from sexual sin and I turn to God. I turn from something that's holding me back that's beneath God's best for me as a husband, as a man, as a pastor, as a leader, as a Christian, and I turn to God. We've got to be willing to begin to turn from some things and turn to some things. Come on, we've got to restore the call that Jesus preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." It was an invitation. It was associated with this life that God was building and growing and extending to us through Jesus Christ, this life of the kingdom, which the word of God says is righteousness, peace, and joy. Jesus said, "Turn from your sins so that you can begin to walk in this amazing life that I have for you." And I'm telling you today, wherever you are in winning this battle, the reason that God wants you to begin to embrace the opportunity to walk in victory is because God knows a life that he has for you. And that area of sexual purity, if you're struggling in that area, there's some weight and there's some bondage and there's some hindrances that are attached to you that will keep you or hold you back from walking in the fullness of the kingdom life that God has for you. Listen, he loves you so much. God loves you so much. He cares for you so much. I shared it last week, but it bears repeating. As I hold little Evan in my arms, it's the 4th time I've done so. And I am amazed at how I still, even though it's the 4th time, I look into his little eyes, and there's a love that I feel from the heart of the Father that just transcends understanding. I don't get it. And I shared it last week, but it's worth sharing again. He hasn't done anything for us. All little Evan's done is he's cost my wife pain, he's cost us sleep, he's cost us money, he's cost us time, everything, and he's done nothing for us, but still, he brings joy to our heart. And I'm telling you, the love of the Father is the same for you. Perhaps you've cost him some sleepless nights. Perhaps you haven't yet really done anything for him, and it doesn't affect his love for you. He still loves you radically. And he wants to set you free in every area of your life, including this area. But we've got to be willing to be courageous, to turn from some things and begin to turn to God. You know, regarding sin, Paul, when he spoke about sin, he generally said flee, or he generally said resist. Actually, he generally said fight or resist. But regarding sexual sin, you know what he said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18? He said, run from this thing. He said, run from sexual sin. He said, no other sin clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. And we got to be willing, we've got to be courageous as men, as women, as young people, to begin to understand that God created this thing. It's powerful, it's purposeful, but he created boundaries around it. And we've got to begin to understand in the places where we're violating those boundaries, we've got to courageously take a stand and say, I'm going to begin to turn from that way of thinking, I'm going to begin to turn from that way of behavior, and I'm going to begin to turn towards the things of God. And I believe that just as that prodigal son came, he just made a move onto the property of the father, and the father called out and reached out and chased after and embraced and brought in the son and began to celebrate him. I believe if we'll just take a turn, if we'll just begin to step out, if we'll just courageously begin to say, God, I'm acknowledging some things that maybe have become attached, that have been hidden in the darkness, things that have become patterns of behavior or mindsets, and I'm embracing once again in a new way in an atmosphere of grace what your word and what your heart is regarding this area, and we'll just say, God, would you begin to help me? I'm beginning to turn and I'm beginning to change. I believe that God will begin to come in and give you in this season fresh empowerment, fresh grace, fresh mercy to begin to win the battle that maybe you fought against before and haven't won. God loves you so much. He's not trying to spoil our fun in this area. He created it, and he wants it to bring joy, and he wants it to bring life into your life and into your marriage. But he created boundaries, and that's number five. We need to begin to establish godly boundaries. Here's where I really want to begin to get into some of the practicals that I believe will begin to equip us and empower us to begin to walk in new levels of victory in this area. Every one of us, men, women, and young people. Psalm 101:3 says this. It says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." And by the way, I just want to share this. I'm going to share a little bit of my own testimony towards the end of the message as we prepare to just ask the Lord to minister to us. But I'm sharing this morning. I'm your pastor, but I'm human, and I'm telling you, I share today from a perspective of I've walked through this battle. I've walked out this battle, and it's a battle that as a man I fight daily. But I'm telling you this morning that I want to encourage you. If you will embrace the opportunity to partner with the Holy Spirit and resist and fight and flee from this area, you will experience new levels of freedom. And for many years, I wrestled and I battled and I fought, but I'm just glad that I did what the Word of God says, and I submitted to God, I resist the enemy, and after a season of standing and resisting and trusting God and crying out to God and fighting the battle and standing, I'm walking in a new level of freedom like I've never experienced as a man, husband, and believer. And so I just want to encourage you. I'm not perfect in this area. I'm saved by grace just like you are. I hope that's okay for me to say that you don't expect that your pastor, you understand that I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. And how many know God's standard in this area is a pretty high standard? Jesus said if you even look and lust in your heart, it's the same as if you committed adultery. There were previous seasons where I was battling with some things that were pretty direct and pretty obvious. And in this season, I've been set free from some of those things. And now, especially as I was preparing this message, can I just tell you, when I'm preaching on something, I mean, it challenges and prompts me in my own heart. And how many know there's a powerful principle there. It's tied to the whole idea and theme of live to lead. When you begin to embrace the opportunity to be a leader in God's kingdom, it challenges you to live differently in your marriage, in your family, and in your workplace, and in your community. And as I was praying and preparing over these notes and asking the Lord to give me wisdom and a grace on how to begin to introduce it today, it was so amazing how the Lord just reminded me of some things that he's brought me out of and delivered me from. But then what also just challenged me that his standard is really high in this area. And that in the other places where there were maybe obvious areas where I had once stumbled, now he's challenging me when I drive by a woman who's jogging down Wakarusa Street. Listen, come on, I want to just be real and transparent with you. I've won this battle over here where there's some real obvious things, and now the Lord's just saying, how are you going to look at that woman that's jogging down that street? Are you going to take a second look? Are you going to take a second glance? Are you going to look in your rearview mirror? Listen, I'm just being honest and real with you. And I've gotten to the place where I've won some of these battles over here, but I'm not growing complacent or content. I understand, as a man of God, as a husband, as your pastor, as a leader in God's kingdom, it's something that I can't afford to lay down and grow complacent in. It's something that I've got to day by day continually walk with the power of the Holy Spirit and say, God, would you come and search me and know me, and would you help me to be live in a way that's pleasing to you, that honors my wife, and that sets an example for my sons. And when I begin to live towards that standard, it begins to help me have a vision that compels me to live differently and be willing to stand and battle the places that maybe once I lost that now I'm going to win by the grace of God. Amen? So we've got to establish godly boundaries. Psalm 101:3 says this, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. And you know, impurity, sexual thoughts and impurities often begin in the eye. The Bible says David saw Bathsheba. And listen, there's going to be some things that you see. We're just in a culture that's saturated and over-sexualized. And by the way, can I ask the worship team to go ahead and come up and just help us prepare to close and minister? We live in a culture that is over-saturated and sensualized. And it's just almost impossible. I mean, you're just bombarded every billboard, every commercial. There's just all kinds of images and things that are trying to trip you up. But can I encourage you with something? You can't, let me just make the statement, you can't keep a bird from landing on your head, but you can keep it from building a nest. And so when you see something, you have the decision about, you know, I see that and I acknowledge that that's a beautiful woman. Where am I going to set my thoughts towards her? Am I going to see her as a sister in the Lord or someone that God's called me to reach with the truth and the life-saving power of the gospel? Or am I going to begin to allow myself to lust after her because of her physical outward appearance? I see, you can't help but see things, but you have a decision to make about what you allow to your mind to begin to meditate on. You got to begin to establish godly boundaries and say, when I see something, when I see that, I'm going to decide in advance when I'm strong and because of a conviction in the truth of what I know God's called me to live out as a man. When I have that moment of temptation, I'm going to premeditate my determination and my response. I'm going to decide what I believe in my heart so that when I have that moment and see that opportunity, I know the response that I'm going to give. Lust oftentimes start with the eyes. Listen, Jesus said this. He said, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who even looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And he said, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. Listen, did Jesus really mean to physically do that? No, he did not. You know, he doesn't want a bunch of one-armed Cyclops worshipers, you know, in church. He wants you lifting both of your holy hands before God. But what he's saying, there's a principle behind it. And he's saying, if there's something in your life that causes you, that takes you down this path, that leads you down this path, that causes you to begin thinking these thoughts, when you're in a moment of strength under the conviction and the grace of the Holy Spirit, make decisions and determinations to limit the access of those things into your heart and your mind. Lust oftentimes starts with the eyes. Listen, if we'll just stop looking, a lot of times we can stop lusting. And I want to encourage you, if you wrestle in this area, begin to put guards in place. Begin to take steps that walk out this principle of cutting off some things that maybe once had access to your heart and your mind. You know, come on, I mean, I'm talking real practically. If you've wrestled in that situation, if you know when you go to that certain website that there's going to be an ad that's going to take you to a link, that's going to take you to a video or whatever, delete the app off your phone. Come on, go in when you're strong. If you just live on the brink of this all the time, you're gonna stumble and fall. But in a moment of strength, in a moment of clarity, in a moment of conviction, in a moment of empowerment, go and begin to eliminate some things that have caused you to stumble. Go and put a block in your cable TV or your satellite TV that limits certain genres or limits certain ratings. Go and put a filter. Go and connect honestly with your spouse and say, you know what? Just like Pastor T was saying, this is an area that is a temptation to me, and I'm going to take some steps to put some guards around my heart and my eyes. Come on, take steps to protect your heart. This is a critical matter. No, perhaps no other issue stands to trip you up like this issue. And it's important that we win the battle over our sexual purity. Take steps. Come on, whatever you got to do. Go block those channels. Come on, you got the free 90-day trial of HBO and they call it Cinemax. It should be called Skinemax. Take it off. Block it. Have a conversation with your spouse. Say, in a moment where you're clear, in a moment where you're strong, go and take those steps to protect yourself. Listen, the Isaiah 61, this is where we'll close, and then we're going to worship, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit a moment to minister. And thank you for just being patient as we go a little long this morning. This is the most important moment of this message, the opportunity for us to respond to the grace of God and present our lives before God and allow the Holy Spirit of God to come in a way that heals us and sets us free and strengthens us for the future we have in God in this area and other areas. But Isaiah 61 is a powerful scripture, and it says this. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This is the anointing that's on Jesus and that's available to you and to me. And it says to proclaim freedom for the captives, the release of darkness for the prisoners. It says captives and prisoners. To proclaim freedom for the captives. Release from darkness for the prisoners. And I just want to encourage you in this area. And the last point that I want to make is that you've got to embrace the grace to deal with root issues. And the anointing of Jesus is so powerful. This is so beautiful. And we could read over that and kind of miss that God's really trying to say something. He's saying, captives and prisoners, captives and prisoners, captives and prisoners. I've made a way to set you free and to heal. Captives and prisoners, captives and prisoners. Listen, captive, when you're captive, it's because someone has done something to you that you didn't deserve. You've been held captive. You've been taken prisoner. When you're a prisoner, oftentimes it's because you have done something. Maybe that we deserve some of the penalty or some of the things that we're getting because of foolish decisions or rebellious decisions or prideful decisions or sinful decisions. And I just want to encourage you that this morning, I believe God really wants to come and he wants to provide grace to see there be healing in root issues of your life that are manifesting in this area of lust and sexual impurity. You know, when I was again, captives and prisoners, things that you didn't ask or expect to be done to you, and then decisions that we make on our own because of sinful nature that put us in difficult situations. When I was 5 years old, I didn't ask for a cousin of mine to in the back of a station wagon on a family road trip to a funeral to begin to introduce me to things that I should not have been introduced to, that no 5-year-old boy should be introduced to. I didn't ask for that. A year later, I didn't ask for the neighbor boy in our apartment complex across the street. I'll never forget his name was Sean. I didn't ask for him for us to just be playing with one another and for him to take me in his house and begin to show me all the Playboys and Penthouse magazines that men had brought into his home. You know what? Sean didn't ask to be born into a situation where there was a revolving door of men through his mom's house. Both of us in certain ways and in different ways we were captives of something. We didn't ask for it. We didn't expect it. Some of you, there was something that was done to you. There was something that was sown into your life. There was something that was introduced. There was a sexual abuse. There was a betrayal. There was someone that maybe for some of you, it was the absence of godly parents and role models to train you up and teach you up and to begin to show you what this really was, the power and the purpose behind it and the purity that God gives us the invitation to walk in. Listen, whatever it was for you, the root issue, the lie, the betrayal, the deception, the whatever it was that was sown into your life that has perhaps contributed to a life of walking out this area and losing some of these battles, I am asking the Lord today as your pastor to come and to provide grace to heal you, to provide grace to strengthen you. And here's the thing, is as I was spending time saying, Lord, I don't want to dig up a bunch of stuff. And I felt the Lord just challenge me and just prompt me and just say, it's time, it's time, it's time. And when the Holy Spirit begins to uncover something in our life, it's never to condemn. It's never to expose us. It's always to heal us. And so, Lord, I thank you this morning that any place, any area, come on, many of us are in different places. Some of you are walking in a lot of victory in this area, and some of you, come on, you're right in the middle of the thick of the battle. Some of you are everywhere in between. And I thank you, Lord, this morning that your heart is to heal us and set us free. Thank you, Lord, that you created this to be enjoyed in the boundaries of godly marriage between a man and a woman. You intended to this to be a powerful, purposeful, pleasurable thing to be protected. Let me just encourage you, single people, God's entrusted you with your sex drive, and it's an opportunity for you to battle over something that you can then give to your spouse. I believe today that the Holy Spirit is so powerful. Come on, how many of you believe He makes all things new? He makes all things new. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation, a new creature. I believe today God wants to go into some places where the enemy has come and he's spoken and he's lied and he's deceived and he's tried to hold you down. And the Lord wants to come today and He wants to make you new. He wants to make you new. Come on, when we get real with God about situations and circumstances, things that were done to us and things that we do on our own, when we get real with God, it's not when God finds out about it. It's when we begin to discover and apprehend the grace and the mercy and the freedom to be set free and to be healed and to be restored. Amen? So here's what I want to do. I want to ask all of you to stand up. I don't want to put anyone on the spot this morning. I want to ask all of you to stand. And as the worship team leads this song and makes this declaration over us, that chains fall at the name of Jesus, I'm going to just open up the front right here. And this is a judgment-free zone. We're a family. Let me tell you, we won't know if you're coming for yourself or a spouse or a loved one. There'll be no judgment. But I want to open up this altar. And if there's a place in your life where you want to come and you want to present it before the Lord and say, Lord, would you heal me in that area, that thing that was done to me or that thing that I've done, I want to lay it down at the altar and I want to ask you to come and heal me. We want to open up the altar. Come on, the heart of God is to heal and set free and strengthen and restore us in this area. So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for the purposes and plans you have for us in our future. Thank you, Lord, for an atmosphere of mercy and grace to cover and heal and restore your people in this area. In Jesus' mighty name.